était chez moi. On m'a dit résigne-toi, mais je n'ai pas pu. Et j'ai repris mon arme. Hier encore nous étions trois, il ne reste plus que moi, et je tourne en rond. Dans les prisons des frontières, le vent souffle sur les tombes, la liberté reviendra, on nous oubliera. Nous rentrerons dans l'ombre.
Chapter 18. Ravakol, the shadowy kingpin whose men had presumably smuggled Carver out of L2, was sitting at Duo's workbench, as if this was where he spent most of his leisure time. Wufei abruptly plunged into the calm of battle, divided his attention between the apparently unthreatening drug lord and the rest of the room. Surely the man wasn't here alone. Mako and a few dozen thugs were undoubtedly hiding out in the yard.
"I apologize for making myself at home, but I wasn't sure when you'd be back," said Ravakol, flipping to the next page of the borrowed tech manual and poring over the use of alternators and engine blocks. "I'd have waited for you on your doorstep, but I tire easily."
"How did you get in?" Revical's eyes flickered up at Duo, and he smiled. It was not a pleasant expression on his worn face. "What do you want?" Duo asked, voice neutral.
"Why, Duo, you don't look happy to see me."
Ravakol cocked his head to one side and examined the smuggler. "Your man, Mako, tried to hustle my blade."
Yes, your blade."
The gravelly voice picked the word apart. Wufei met and matched Ravakol's scrutiny. The man could get Wufei lynched with one well-placed word, but the warrior wasn't going to cringe before the likes of a dealer. Ravakol brazenly examined Wufei from top to toe with an offensive curl of the lip. It was pretty clear to Wufei that Ravakol knew who he was and what he was doing here. What wasn't clear at all was what he intended to do about it. There was no noise from the yard outside. Mako might be quiet enough to hide there, but there wasn't a small army with him. Something in Ravakol's demeanor told Wufei that there wasn't even Mako out there to ensure his safety. Ravakol was alone. In view of what the man knew of Wufei and Duo, that would take a certain amount of courage and self-confidence. The preventer reluctantly conceded. Ravakol was in no shape to fight anybody. Though the man was in his mid-30s, he sat like someone twice his age. His skin was sallow, the yellow of jaundice. It tainted the white of his eyes, the crescents in his ruined fingernails, his gums when he spoke. His face was a yellow skull, paper-thin skin stretched over bone. His hair was as black as Wufei's, but it was ragged, wispy, and brittle. It could be the result of disease, but Wufei had also noticed the man's hands, gnarled, the fingers crooked, the skin reddened and rough in some places. That wasn't the ravages of age. There was a vivid, puckered scar in the palm of one of them, as if something had been hammered through it at some point. And the fingernails were thick, warped and gray. When nails were torn out at the root, they never grew back quite the same. At odds with his ruined body, Ravakol's eyes were sharp as daggers, and they held Wufei's gaze with considerable hostility and not the slightest concession of weakness. Finally, Ravakol broke off the eye-to-eye battle and swiveled in his chair to talk to Duo.
"I hear you've been trying to get in touch with one of my moon cursors. I'm sorry if Mako put you off negotiations with Darbois. His actions had nothing to do with you."
The distinction hung in the air like the smell of a corpse, until Duo said,
Wu Fei is my blade and my friend. Anything to do with him has to do with me. Ravikul's lips twisted downwards.
I see.
He sounded honestly regretful, though not as much as Wu Fei, who was now seriously worried that not only was his cover blown, he was dragging Duo down with him.
So, was there anything I could help you with?
That veneer of insincere civility was back.
Since Darboa left on his out-of-colony trip, maybe I can help you. Who exactly are you looking for?
I told Darboa what I wanted, and others before him. I can't believe you've not heard about it.
Duo's fingers had tightened on the dagger he still carried. The turn of Ravikul's last sentence had not been lost on Wu Fei either.
When Duo had contacted Ravikul's free traders, he'd only talked about a weapons run to the Nines. He'd concealed the fact he was looking for a particular ship and crew. Ravikul and Duo stared at one another for a few long seconds, an unspoken challenge to see who would put the charade aside first. Then Ravikul's eyes flickered to Wu Fei again. He crossed his arms briskly over his bony chest, visibly annoyed. He was dressed in warm slacks, vest, and coat, well-cut and elegant clothes that suited his height but not his girth. His wasted body looked lost in them.
You were chasing someone in Kropotkin the other day, I heard.
His voice had hardened.
Not chasing, really. Just curious about something. I'm a concerned citizen,
Duo answered.
Yes, but not of that sector. Though, I understand you have a lot of friends there.
Yeah, I do have a few buddies that hail from that area, Duo said brazenly. Wu Fei wished he could let that reassure him. But though Duo's support in Freeport was strong, a lot of it would evaporate with only a few well-chosen words by Ravikul to the wrong people.
And this guy you were chasing, sorry, that you were curious about, was he one of them?
Said Ravikul, with only the thinnest pretense of unconcern left.
No, not really. Did he maybe have something to do with the man who was murdered in Kropotkin the other day?
Why do you think that? Duo's mobile face was a picture of innocent curiosity.
You were both in that neighborhood.
So were a lot of people.
I see, said Ravikul, as if Duo had confided in him.
He unfolded himself stiffly from the swivel chair. He was 5'9", though he probably weighed less than Wu Fei.
I'm not here to chat, though it's been pleasant catching up with you. I'm here to discuss that trade route to the Nines you said you wanted to set up.
Yeah? Duo's chin dropped, visibly surprised at the sudden turn of the conversation, bangs shadowing his eyes as he examined Ravikul.
I wouldn't if I were you, Ravikul stated baldly. I've been doing a lot of business in the Nines these last 5 years, and before that as well. I have developed quite a nose for trouble. My instincts tell me that your client is at risk. I would steer clear of him if I were you.
Is that a fact? Duo rubbed his nose. You don't even know who my client is.
Oh, I have a fairly good idea, Duo. I have a fairly good idea, said Ravikul, glancing at Wu Fei. Remember where your allegiances are, free trader.
I'm not sure what you mean, Rav, but I think I've been insulted, said Duo with a steel-hard grin. Ravikul looked at him in silence, and then he walked over to Duo. Wu Fei's fingers tightened on his sword, and he stepped up to stand by Duo's side. There could be a weapon or two hidden beneath that oversized coat. Up close, Ravikul smelled of expensive cologne and the stale, musty scent of sickness. Sunken eyes that held Duo's as the drug lord stopped a few feet away, looking down at the smaller smuggler.
I'm saying this as a friend, Duo, he finally said. His hoarse voice was suddenly gentle.
Duo turned his face away, an abrupt movement that looked like a flinch. His mouth moved. The grin took a second to form, and it was a caricature of the usual smirk.
Sorry, Rav. A drug dealer is no friend of mine.
Ravikul smiled. It was surprisingly sincere.
I know. You're a stubborn, sneaky little bastard, Duo Maxwell. But you always stayed remarkably true to yourself. You could teach many a man twice your age a thing or two about principles.
I'm wasting my breath, I know. But take care and do try to stay out of trouble. Duo's eyes stayed fixed on the far corner of the room. Ravikol took a step towards the door and stopped to look at Wufei. The latter never regretted the no-communication rule more than now. He met Ravikol's hostile glare and surpassed it. He hoped his stance was as unequivocal as he'd want his words to be. This criminal could keep his threats. If he ever touched one hair of that ridiculously long braid, Wufei would find him and make him pay if it took him a lifetime to do so. Ravikol unexpectedly laughed, a wheezy chuckle that relaxed the ruined lines of his face and showed a faint ghost of the man he might have otherwise been. Ha, Mako warned me that you seemed particularly protective of one another. I wish... Ravikol sighed. I wish we could have met 5 years ago, and in better circumstances. I think we'd have had more to talk about back then. May your stay in Freeport be safe, pilot. And short. With those last two dire words tossed over his shoulder, Ravikol made his way to the door and let himself out. Wufei was silent for a while, digesting that. Duo had turned around to rest his elbows on the kitchen counter. Wufei had a lot to consider, but he found his gaze dragged to the taut line of Duo's neck. The smuggler's hands were balled into fists. His face was turned away so Wufei couldn't see it. The latter felt torn between the urge to turn away and leave Duo to battle this out privately, and a strange compulsion to walk up to his friend and shake him or something. This tension on Duo's normally relaxed frame just didn't look right. Wufei realized he'd compromised by staying where he was and staring at Duo's right ear, which really wasn't helping anybody. He shook his head abruptly and turned towards his bedroll and bag. I should leave.
Like hell,
Duo growled behind him. You heard him. He knows who I am, Duo. He threatened you directly.
Yeah, like that's never happened before.
Duo turned around to give Wufei a pugnacious glare, loaded with all the stubbornness Ravikol had commented on.
Forget it, Chang. Duo Maxwell's no quitter. It's not so much that Carver's a hitman. Hell, Hiro did some of that too in his time. I could let that pass. But Carver X'd a guy here in Freeport. On the sly. This is my home, dude. I don't let people like Carver do things like that.
How about people like Ravikol? Wufei asked neutrally. I think this visit makes Carver and Ravikol associates at the very least. We might end up going against Ravikol directly.
Duo glared moodily at the floor instead of answering.
Wufei looked weighingly at his stack of clothes on a low shelf and the pack near his feet, then at the door through which the ruined man had passed.
Who did that to him? Oz?
He finally asked.
The Romfeller and Oz Alliance, before Trays came back,
Duo answered, after a moment of silence that had Wufei wondering if he would answer at all.
I remember you mentioning he was a rebel fighter.
Yeah, he was. But not your kind. He's right. 5 years ago, you two would have had a lot to talk about. You'd have argued like a mother matron and a hoe.
What do you mean?
Wufei wasn't particularly curious about Ravikol's past, apart from anything that might relate to the case. But the sharp angle in Duo's shoulders was something he still wanted to reach out and touch, whichever way he could.
Duo stared blankly at his dinky kitchen cabinet, then hoisted himself up onto the counter.
Rav was something of a legend in the cesspit where I grew up. He's been a rebel since he was old enough to throw a stone. His dad was a schoolteacher on an L2 industrial colony. Dunno why, but most revolutionaries I read about in quarantine had a mom or dad who's a schoolteacher.
Somebody should do a study,
Wufei concurred ironically, knowing it would feed the flow rather than break it. Duo was like that. Wufei had learned this past month. He needed the appearance of a conversation, even during a monologue.
The usual shit happened. Dad was arrested for trying to help organize a local factory union and got disappeared, while Mom died soon after during the very first plague. Rav turned to anarchy like some guys enter the church.
Duo chuckled, a sound devoid of any humor.
Is that why he and I would argue? Wufei asked dryly. Now, well, okay, that's one reason. The other is, Rav knows no rules when he fights. No rules.
Duo's legs, crossed at the ankle, started to swing up and down, his eyes fixed on the motion.
He has no honor?
Define honor. His aim was to get Earthers out of space. All means acceptable. Terrorism, riots, sabotage, piracy. He was running drugs and weapons back when you and I were too small to reach a Gundam's control stick. That's how I met him, when he was smuggling shells with the sweepers. You should have heard the man talk back then. He was amazing. He never touched a penny of the money he made off shit and hardware. It all went to the Resistance. He told Howard once he hated dealing, but it was the only way he'd found to finance the fight.
The end justifies the means, said Wufei, his voice colored with distaste.
Don't get on your high horse, Duo snapped. The legs swung more and more violently. We looked nice in our shiny suits attacking only military targets, but Rav didn't have that option. More to the point, we almost lost, like dozens of times. We barely survived the year, and if we did, it was in part because Treza and Lady Psycho had their own agenda, not because of any smart moves on our part. We should have been dead and our cause completely fucked over. And then it wouldn't have mattered a rat's arsehole how noble and honorable we stayed. Ravikol fought for over 10 years and made sure that L2 and L3 were never fully under Alliance control and still had the will and means to fight back. So who's the hero here?
I cannot answer that question for you, said Wufei.
He'd leaned against the wall and severely crossed his arms, a familiar position for a familiar frame of mind.
But I know that nothing good can come from compromising your own principles. Your cause is corrupt before you fire the first bullet.
Must be nice to have Gundanium-plated certitudes like that, said Duo, kicking viciously at the air.
Are you saying you agree with his methods?
Duo's legs stopped abruptly in mid-swing. An odd sort of calm came over Duo's face. For an instant, the deeper currents that moved Duo Maxwell were visible. Darkness and light, blending, strength, faith, and callous determination. Wufei remembered the way Shinigami had laughed when he was at Death Scythe's controls. The glimpse into Duo's inner workings was both frightening and fascinating. Wufei wasn't sure he wanted to look, but found himself compelled to. He almost retracted the question, but Duo was already speaking in a matter-of-fact voice, and the moment was over. "I don't do philosophy, Chang. All I know is that when it came down to the original plan for Operation Meteor, I went one way. Rav would probably have gone the other. That's the difference between us." Duo contemplated his legs that were now dangling quietly from the edge of the counter. "For 10 years, Ravikol fought any way he could," he continued softly. "The colonies didn't support him openly, but they were getting raped by the Alliance, so they were happy to see the rebels screw them over in turn. Then White Fang seceded while Oz and Romfeller were fighting each other. Suddenly it looked like the colonies had a chance. They might actually get rid of the Earthers. Rav was one of the rebellion leaders by then. He harassed Romfeller troops, guerrilla style. He spied for the White Fang. He blew up communication satellites and weapons depots, all that. He was this close to freeing the colonies." Duo's fingers pinched a quarter of an inch of air before he let his hand fall back to the counter. "So they sold him out to Rumfeller."
"What?"
Wufei asked, startled. Duo smiled cynically. "Ravikol's an anarchist. Has been since he threw his first Molotov. If the Fang and the colonies had won with the help of Rav and his troops, he'd have had a lot of influence. And that didn't go down well with some people. The colonies were led by a bunch of rich families, like the Winners. They didn't want to give up their control. They just wanted to stop paying taxes to Earth to fund their dirt side wars. But anarchy? You got to be kidding. So, once the Fang got a good head start and they didn't need him anymore, those gents sold Rav out. They gave his location to a Romfeller task force and stood back. I hear the colony leaders even made it out as a gesture of good faith towards Romfeller. They were
renouncing base terrorism. They'd already taken a step back from White Fang. They certainly turned on us when the heat was on. If Romfeller had won the war, the colonies would still be under Earther control, but at least they'd look innocent of any open act of aggression. Nice, huh?
Not really, no.
The student of history and politics Wu Fei had once been knew this happened in every war, every revolution. That didn't mean the warrior had to like it. Romfeller held Ravikul for a month before the Libra went down. They thought he might know White Fang's ultimate plans. Which he didn't, of course. Ravikul's pretty ruthless, but he's not apeshit like Marquise. That crazy Earther had a bee in his blonde bonnet. But any true spacer knows that the colonies can't survive if the home planet gets blitzed. Duo was staring blindly at the door out of the room. They tortured him. He told them nothing. They shot him so full of drugs his kidneys and liver got damaged. But he still didn't talk. They threatened to execute hostages. He tried to hang himself with the IV feed they'd put in his arm to keep him alive. Then we did a number on Libra. Ms. Peacecraft made her peace and love speech. And it turned out nobody had won. Neither Earth nor White Fang. So Romfeller kicked Ravikul out of jail and left him to die in the gutter. The words had dampened the weak light coming from the workbench, which Ravikul had turned on before flipping through the tech manual with his ruined hands. Wu Fei stayed silent. He'd been prepared to die like that himself. He felt no pity for Ravikul. Neither did he agree with the man's methods. But the darkness nibbled at the edge of his vision. The inky depression that had dragged him down after he'd failed to kill Treyz. Or after he'd killed Treyz, but failed to kill the idea of the man. A depression that threatened to grip him on a regular basis these days. It seemed that sometimes, even if you did everything that you thought was right, you still ended up in the wrong, and the entire universe buried you in it. It was something that Wu Fei knew all too well. "I don't know how he survived," Duo continued, stretching and rubbing the back of his neck under the braid. He turned up 6 months later in Freeport with Mako and a few other scary guys in tow. They picked up some of the drug routes he'd set up before, and he's not left the colony since. I don't know what makes him tick these days. Maybe he's still fighting, still gathering money and weapons for some great revolution. Maybe he's just going through the motions, selling drugs to kids because when their parents bury them, he'll have gotten a bit of his own back. I don't know. I do know that if Ravikul's behind Josh's murder and playing cozy with Carver and Ferret, then I have no problem taking them all down, since that's the question you weren't going to ask me directly. After all, it won't be the first time Ravikul got screwed over by someone he thought was on his side. Duo jumped off the counter. I'm going to wheedle some soba from Kimura over in Bolt. If I have to eat that shit the commissary dishes out one more time, I'll puke. The door closed with a firm thump before Wu Fei could mention security measures, ambushes, and murder. He stayed leaning against the wall for a long time. The reasonable side of him was insisting he follow Duo, but he wouldn't. He glanced down at his backpack instead. He should go. He was a source of danger to his ally. But he wasn't going to abandon his mission, and he wasn't going to run while Duo was in danger. Duo's words had been meant as an explanation, almost an apology, for the bitter, twisted existence of a man Duo had once admired. To Wu Fei, they only illustrated what a dangerous creature they were dealing with. He knew the kind. He knew it because he'd seen the darkness in Ravikul's eyes when he'd looked in the mirror after killing Treyz. This was a man who'd lost even the tenuous justification of a cause, but who was too strong, or too weak, to give up and let go of the fight. He could do anything. To Duo. The only way Wu Fei would have left was if he could have been sure to track down Carver another way, and if Duo left with him. Why had Ravikul even come here? On the surface, it was simply to talk Duo out of digging any deeper. But there was more. Ravikul had wanted something. Was he trying to determine how much Duo and Wu Fei knew? Was that why he'd asked about Ferret? No matter. They'd figure it out soon enough. They'd have to. Wufei gathered that Ravakul was wary of Duo's many friends. They would look into the L2 pilot's death most carefully. That would be why Ravakul had shown up solo instead of Mako and a dozen thugs. Wufei wasn't sure how much that protection was worth. He wasn't about to leave Duo in this pit alone with only that intangible armor to protect him. Wufei jerked away from the wall, gave his backpack a moody kick, and went to check the backyard. Not that he expected to find anything. Looked like they were going to spend the evening upgrading security while trying to figure out how Ferret, Carver, and Ravakul all fit together. Beyond that, he knew what he had to do. He had to help Duo find a link between Ravakul and Joshua's murder. Freeport had no laws, but it certainly had rules. If Wufei and Duo could prove that Ravakul and Carver were involved in a crime of that magnitude, then Freeport would do Wufei's justice for him. The Preventer might disapprove of vigilanteism, but deep inside, past the constraints of law and the social contract, Wufei thought he'd rather like to see that sort of justice applied. There was a rigorous symmetry that appealed to him. Ravakul and Carver had broken the unwritten laws of the colony that protected them. They should pay the price.